From UFOs to ghosts and government cover-ups, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now, or learn the stuff they don't want you to know.
Hello, hello, everybody. Before we start, Matt and I are going to do a little banter. What did you have for lunch today, if I can ask?
For lunch, I had a chicken salad sandwich with some sun chips.
Mmm. Yeah, that doesn't sound half bad.
Oh, and some unsweetened tea.
Yeah.
Iced tea.
Oh, you said iced tea. For a second, I thought you said heist tea.
Heist.
And now
tea.
I'm picturing bank robbers, you know, pausing for a second.
Just having a sip.
Plugging the kettle in or just mixing the ice. I had a Philly cheesesteak because I make bad life decisions.
Did you have fries with that, sir?
I did have fries with that. I did. And yeah, we have a little cafe downstairs, and the wonderful lady who works there asked me if I wanted to have, you know, salt on the fries. I said, yeah, a lot. No, more. No, seriously, drown them in salt.
Rosie?
Yeah. And so much so, funny story, that partway through she stopped and she put the salt away and she pointed her finger at me and she said, you know, it's not good for you.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, she said, don't do it all the time. I said, all right. Next time I come down here to buy lunch, I'll buy a salad. And she said, before you get sick.
Yeah. Jeez.
It freaked me out just a little bit. I appreciate the concern. Hey,
this is my lunch. My salt holiday here.
So yeah, salt a day.
Oh, geez.
But it made me think about the video series that we've been doing this week, which is all about food additives. And we've got some. We're doing something a little weird. We have two classic episodes this week because we've got some vacations in our future.
Well, I've got a vacation in my future. I'm sorry, Ben. Ben doesn't get to leave everybody. And I usually don't either, but
right.
I finally am escaping.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit after. I don't want to sour the experience. We'll talk about it after you return. But yes, food. The food we eat is crazy. Processed food is crazy. This seasoning salt, I feel like I got a weird, you know, prophecy or she read my fortune or something.
Yeah, she knew. And she knew you were going to be doing this, too. So a lot of times you'll be looking at your food labels. We all do this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not as much as we should, but we do it every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And you'll see that there are more chemicals, more words with names on them that you just have no idea what the heck it is. Unless you're a chemistry major or work in a lab somewhere, you probably don't even know what these different compounds are.
Right. Yeah. Sodium benzoate, huh? Monosodium glutamate, right?
Sounds delicious.
That stuff really is, though.
I know. It's exactly what it is. It is just delicious in a powder.
Right. Some long name that sounds a little bit more like somebody randomly playing on the alphabet than it does like an actual word, much less food. And a lot of us, as you said, don't seek these ingredients out. One thing that is so strange about the modern world is that we have easier access to food now than at any point. And now I know a lot of people are going to say, but wait, guys, clearly starvation and famine are a huge problem. That is true. But overall, if you look at the human population as a whole, the way it works out is just a strange and in some places, obscenely counterintuitive availability of food.
Yeah, it's a strange, I don't know. I feel like Hunger Games got it right with their allegory there. Just with the capital that has so much food that they're throwing up so that they can eat more. And then other places there's nothing. But you're right. Overall, if you take a wide enough view, yeah, it's good. Sorry. I'm just thinking about that now.
Yeah.
About how many people don't have any food. And then I'm sitting here thinking about the additives and complaining about them.
And weirdly, you know, of course, this is a sidebar we should throw in here, Matt. Obesity is a huge threat in developing countries. And you can be starving while appearing obese.
Oh, yeah.
because you can still be deprived of the actual vitamins, minerals, and other substances that you need to have a working body. Oh, and before we go any further, this all turned into some long segue because we're just talking, right?
I like that though.
Yeah, it feels more natural. My name is Ben, everybody. Sorry about that.
And my name is Matt. And we also have Noel in the house. He's got his arms up. He's elated to be recording and editing at the same time. He's thinking about all the wonderful music shows he'll be playing later on in the week.
Yeah, fantastic musician.
Yeah.
He's the DJ Babu to our Evidence and Aura Science, the Spinderella to our Salt and Pepper.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Nice, Ben.
That's a dated reference, I guess.
Really nice.
But anyhow, that's us. And as we were talking about, we need to outline something very important here. We are all from the United States. We have a lot of listeners who are not from the United States, and thank you for listening. We just want you to know that we are well aware of the stereotype about U.S. nutrition in general. The portions here are huge.
Yep.
You can buy things that have been on a shelf for a year and contain what is legally called, you know, like milk and meat and other perishable items. You can do that because there are so many preservatives and other additives in food. So that's what we mean when we say processed food. It contains these additives. These give food a longer shelf life, but they're also there to preserve flavor, color, even texture, you know?
Oh, yeah. And, well, okay, so if we go back a little bit in history, man's been using preservatives for a long time, or at least means to preserve food longer. So
yeah.
We've got all kinds of salts, vinegars, herbs, you could boil things.
Sure.
Then refrigeration came along because that'll keep it for a little bit longer. But in the past 50 years, the preservatives that we've been creating, the chemical preservatives.
Okay. Yeah.
They're astounding. First of all, it's amazing that we can do these things and they're extremely common. Extremely common.
Yeah. Like have you ever held a can of soup? You know, something, again, with dairy or meat in it, you know, this can of clam chowder or something. It's old enough that if it was a kid, it could be walking around.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's still good. Date on it says it's still good.
It might have a best buy this date, but you can still eat it, apparently. That's a great point. The most popular of the chemical or man-made additives in the food industry today are stuff like benzoates, nitrites, sulfites, and sorbates. So sodium nitrate, big thing in bacon. If you eat bacon and you want to avoid that, then you have to make sure you read the labels with great care. Sometimes you don't because it's the vast majority of bacon sold in the United States has this added, right?
Yep.
So these additives do serve a purpose, like they stop mold and they stop yeast. Sometimes they're just cosmetic, like sulfur dioxide, right?
It's one of the most common additives, and it's just a bleaching agent. Just makes your stuff look nicer, so someone will pick it up off the shelf.
That's so much cosmetic stuff. The American cheese must be yellow. Yellow coloring on cheddar. Now I'm just naming yellow things. But there are so many additives used today. So many, in fact, that in this podcast, we cannot list them all, but we will talk about a few. Because we are partway through our video series on food additives where we covered, we covered brominated vegetable oil.
That was a big one.
Yeah.
We covered aspartame.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's the, artificial sweetener.
I think these are the only two that we end up covering.
Yeah, you're right. We have a list of these, but we specifically focused on aspartame and brominated vegetable oil because we found some allegations, some conspiratorial ideas, specifically that there might be cover-ups between the FDA and lobbying organizations.
Yes, and there's incentive, monetary incentive, to put these additives out there when perhaps the jury is not out on whether they're safe for us or not.
Right. And we're not saying, of course, that the FDA is a bunch of evil, conniving, supervillains who want other folks to die.
No, in fact, but they're also not immune to bribery.
Touche, old friend. You are correct. We should also point out it is not uncommon for a food additive that was originally believed to be safe to later, be found toxic because of the testing processes and the ways in which we have learned to test these sorts of things.
Yeah, there's some studies that we looked at over these videos that showed certain food additives as sources of headaches and nausea and everything from weakness to even difficulty breathing. Mm-hmm. I don't have the name of that study or those studies that we mentioned right here. We'll have to maybe make a blog or, I don't know, do something to really give people more information here.
Sure, yeah. There are certain foods that can damage human nerve cells when they're combined with other additives. Mm. The truth is that we really don't understand all the long-term effects that additives could have on our health because, in the grand scheme of things, these are relatively new inventions, and we can test these things to the best of our means, but there is a reason that not all additives are uniformly banned in all countries. There's a lot of stuff in the United States that you could never serve in a product in the EU or in Japan, for instance.
Well, because what do you need to prove that something is safe? You need time and trials, enough mm-hmm. trials. Mm-hmm. And when a new food additive comes around, maybe it's been in testing for a while, but, you know, it took a long time for us to understand that the tar from smoking cigarettes was terribly bad for you.
Right. And later we found out, at least in that case, that some tobacco companies were actively fighting mm-hmm. against that being made public. Now, obviously, we have to be very careful and I think very proactive with the science of these sorts of things, because some of these effects can be cumulative, meaning you won't notice them, you know, to your point about time, until decades down the road. So additives aren't banned until enough research is collected to determine the exact effects they have on the body.
And don't forget, yeah. there could be cumulative effects just from all the different additives or something, you know,
yeah.
something else completely different, because our diets now are so filled with these. Mm-hmm. And how are you going to separate one from the other unless you have such strict clinical trials?
Right. But we do know some dangerous additives, right? And we've made a little bit of a rogues gallery here of some top fives that are not mentioned in our video series. So, for those intrepid audio podcast listeners, do feel free to tell the people who only watch the videos that you know more about this than they do.
Oh yeah, you totally do.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so setting up a flame war.
Oh yeah, no, let's do it. You guys got a battle in the streets, the audio versus the video, and then maybe if the battle is, you know, long and difficult enough, they will become one.
Wow, man. I love what a weird mind you have.
I'm sorry.
So it's like warriors come out and play.
Yeah, it's like warriors, but then in the end they realize that, hey guys, our differences aren't that different. Maybe we should band together.
I've not seen the end of that.
It's not. Film. I don't think that's how warriors end.
Okay. All right. So wait, what's number five on our list here?
Okay. So number five is something that if you have kids, you already know about this. Food dyes. And this is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
So, the FDA they've met to decide whether or not certain food dyes should even be allowed in food, or whether or not they should be, you know, carrying a warning label. Hey, this product has food dyes in it with these certain food dyes.
Right. Yes. Like Michael Jacobson, the director of the Center for Science and the Public Interest, he stated that he was most concerned about the dyes red number 40, yellow number 5, and yellow number 6. And those combined make up about 90% of the food dyes on the market. There are allegations that these cause child hyperactivity and even ADHD. For the record, I'm not completely convinced on those. And, you know, we've been using food dyes for years, but the use has really accelerated, as in, like, what, quintupled?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, if you were in school in the 90s, you probably heard the rumors about Yellow Number 5 and Mountain Dew and
things.
Do you not know this?
I have not heard this.
Oh, wow. Maybe I'm one of the only ones. Okay. Now I feel horrible.
I didn't get outside very often. Well, I didn't have very many friends.
That's fine. The idea was that Yellow Number 5 would affect your genitals if you were a male in certain ways.
Oh, okay. Yeah, wow.
It was a huge rumor back in the time. But I remember thinking that rumor caused me to think about some of these chemicals. Way back in the day in middle school. But anyway.
So number four is lead, which might surprise people because, you know, lead, food, two things you wouldn't think about going together.
Well, and it's also kind of a strange culprit when you think about where this lead is found.
Where's that?
It's in juice drinks. So according to this study in Natural News, 85% of beverages marketed to kids contain levels of lead. Varying levels of lead. Some of them can be dangerous. The levels were high enough to gain a warning under California's Safe Drinking Water and Toxic Enforcement Act of 1986. So
it's Prop 65.
Yeah, right? Prop 65. And that's a little scary when you think about lead. Because as we talked about before, lead is dangerous inside the human body.
Yeah. Because it's lead. It's so weird, you know? Okay, and then we've got number three on our list, which is something you schooled me about a number of years ago, Matt, and that is BPA.
Yes, there are certain synthetic hormones that are in our diet and can be found in things. This one, BPA, bisphenol A, can be found in canned foods. Mm-hmm. There was a new study that's showing that, organic or not, 92% of your canned foods that you're consuming contain this hormone. And there are a couple of studies that you can go online. Just put BPA canned food into a search bar and look at it.
But not while you're eating from a can.
Please don't. Well, that might make for an interesting reaction video if you want to post those on YouTube.
Oh, that's not a bad idea at all. All right. So I'd love it if people were posting more, reaction videos. That'd be interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. So, Phthalates.
Mm-hmm.
These are another synthetic hormone often found in canned foods. This chemical is associated with endocrine disruption in animals, and in some human studies, they've confirmed this, but they've been shown to cause reproductive and neurological damage in lab animal tests. You can also, in addition to canned foods, find these in some personal care products. Which leads us all to number one, probably one of my favorite food additives.
The most delicious thing that exists, MSG.
Oh, man. Okay, linked to hormonal imbalances, weight gain, brain damage, obesity, headaches, and it is just it's scrumptious, dude.
That's what it does. It just makes things taste better. And it's back in style, too. There are a lot of very popular restaurants you can go to now that specifically say, we make it with MSG because it's this beautifully horrible thing that makes everything taste delicious.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm going to have to take it one day at a time, man. This post MSG lifestyle I'm living, it's crazy.
Maybe I don't care enough that it's harmful. Maybe I just need some more MSG, man. Sprinkle it on everything. Put in my coffee.
It's like I used to taste in color. And now I taste in grays.
Oh.
It's not that bad. I'm joking, guys. So that is our gallery of, five food additives that are controversial, but that we didn't mention in our video series yet. Weirdly enough, Matt, we had a sponsor for this one, but, they pulled out.
Last minute.
Yeah. I guess legally we can't even tell you which, food company pulled out, but you know, just wonder. It may or may not be the people who make dehydrated space ice cream.
Ah, those jerks. Well, maybe, those wonderful people that maybe we'll work with in the future.
Oh, I'm having so much fun saying may or may not be. It may or may not be the makers of pavement sauce, which is both a condiment and a pavement alternative.
Delicious pavement sauce.
Uh-huh.
All right, well, speaking of pavement sauce, Ben, here's where it gets crazy.
Yes.
Let's talk about the more conspiratorial things in the side of this.
Ooh, Codex Alimentary, right?
Alimentarius,
thank you. That is that is a tremendously controversial move by the United Nations to standardize food across the globe.
Yeah, for safety, Ben. Mm-hmm. That's why you would do that, for safety.
So school me on this one, Matt. You know more than I do about this.
Well, I actually don't, but I'll tell you a couple things that I do know. I know that it was a great episode and you should watch it.
Yeah, we have an episode about this this was an older episode.
Yeah,
too,
it's just been a while. I should really prepare for these things better, Ben.
Well, what we'll do instead is maybe we'll do a podcast on that in detail in its entirety in the future if people are interested, because we covered it in our video series, and that's sort of an introduction to the concept.
Yeah, but all in all, it goes back to the idea that the UN wants to bring in a new world order and control everything, and they're starting with the food. It's like a slippery slope argument kind of thing.
Right, yeah, and there's the argument that the health requirements or the standards for this. The advocates say, look, we're just trying to make things hygienic, safer, and more uniform, maybe with more environmental considerations in packaging, because that's a huge thing too. Opponents say, yeah, this is a new world order, grab for control, and also mandating the insertion of chemicals that will damage people's neurological functions.
Control, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll have to, there's so much to that it would be fun to explore in another episode. Maybe fun's not the right word. It would be fascinating. But it does lead us to our next one, which is the concept of brain drain. The idea that not only are food additives put into processed food with the intention of hurting you, like willfully put in there instead of just trying to save some money, but these also have calculated neurological effects on the population. This one, I got to tell you, this one I don't buy. Just because it's hard to, how would you regulate the dose? How would you ensure that it had the actual effect that you're looking for? You know what I mean?
Sure. And you're looking at a huge population sample size to try and treat everyone. Or if you wanted to look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you prevent anybody that you don't want to eat it, not to eat it? Do you just have an email list with all the foods right. You can't eat this week or this month or this year?
All right, a little sad face emoji.
But, you know, at the same time, I think back to our fluoride episode, and that has always made me question what I believe about some of that stuff. Not necessarily that I believe that fluoride is calcifying my pineal gland, but it certainly interests me.
With the hexafluorosilicic,
basically because of the motivations behind that kind of stuff and the money behind that kind of stuff.
Which goes to one of the other conspiracy theories, the idea that big business and perhaps corruption, with lobbying and the FDA, as we mentioned earlier, that these forces are responsible for unsafe additives in food. This isn't so much a case of some business saying, let's hurt people, as it is a business or a lobbying group more likely saying, hey, we already spent so much money researching this chemical. It's a sunk cost for us. So we don't want to lose billions of dollars trying to find a new, you know, insert ingredient.
Yeah.
Here.
How can we use it?
Right.
How can we make this chemical that was meant for this? Let's transform it. Let's rename it. It'll be huge.
Oh,
PR campaign?
Yeah. What was that food additive that gave people the runs?
In the healthy potato chips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it was better for you than fat.
It had a name. Olean. Olean is the name.
Yeah, so it just made you poop. Yeah, I mean, well, it also really, wasn't fat, but
wasn't really poop so much.
Right, that's the worst part.
It was an oily discharge.
That
if
is,
I recall.
Which is the phrase that they use in the official literature. That's not just us messing around.
Oh, and it makes me think of the Haribo sugar-free, sugarless gummy bears. Have you heard about this?
Oh, what happened? Did those also have similar effects?
Oh, apparently.
Oh,
there
man.
Are tons of videos online about that.
You have to watch out for that sort of stuff, which is ultimately the moral of the story here. There's another one that another conspiracy theory, and I don't think it's fair to call these a theory. And while we're here, shout out to one of our listeners or audience members who said, you guys say the word theory when you mean hypotheses. I get it. I understand it. But what we say is conspiracy theory, because that's the phrase that most people understand. We're not here to exclude anybody. So with all due respect, we do understand that, but it's sort of like you park in a driveway and we already have the word driveway. So we're using it to reach the most people.
Hey man, I remember that argument from high school in science class,
which is
the hypothesis
versus
theory.
Theory.
I remember.
I think it is accurate to say.
Yeah.
That
yeah. We
sure.
get it.
But this leads us to, again, the most dangerous, conspiratorial idea here, which is corner cutting. So, you know, we've all heard the stories about dog food from China that contains a dangerous thing and it's making animals sick, right?
Mm-hmm.
The idea that somebody would cut a processed food, not to preserve its shelf life necessarily, but just to make the actual food, go further is more common than you might think.
Yeah, and it kind of reminds me of cutting a drug, as
right,
horrible
yeah,
as that sounds.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying.
Just trying to make as much profit as you can off of the supply you currently have.
Yeah.
And
this is not something that is just restricted to one part of the world by any means. I think that China often gets a really bad rap for that, which maybe in some cases is exaggerated propaganda, but you know, it's not like there's a country with a perfect manufacturing process. One thing I should point out then is that there were a couple of studies done in the UK that found, I can't remember the specific brand, but there was like this meat pie brand, and I think it may have been like their own brand, that was found to contain actually no meat.
Yeah, that was.
Do you remember that?
That's very familiar. There are things like that that happen all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Just not what you're expecting, because in the factory process, one little switch didn't get turned or something
right.
messed up for, you know, that's why there's so many food recalls.
Mm-hmm.
Happen yep. constantly.
At yep.
The Publix and the Kroger where I go to locally, there's constantly food recalls up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always packaged food. Always.
And yeah, and some of the strangest packaged food too also comes from your local fast food outlet,
yep.
which may not appear packaged just because it's hot, but make no mistake, it arrives packaged and it is processed severely. Like, you know, sometimes fast food restaurants will do that thing where they say, now with blank percent more, blah, 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 blah.
Mm.
The scary thing is that when you're an average person, you read that and you say, oh, okay, the hamburger or the hot dog or whatever is now 15% bigger, 50% bigger. Oh, that means they added 15 or 50% more meat to the mix that they used to create the thing.
Or they put more saline solution into their chicken breasts to make them larger, which is a thing that you can do.
Now, Matt, something tells me that we're going to get a lot of listener mail about this for things that we should examine in more detail.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, because there's a lot of stuff we touched on. Unfortunately, we're out of time, that in a lot of these things could be their own podcast. Just the fast food stuff alone, labeling alone, you know?
Oh, man.
What does organic mean? What is a natural flavor?
Ooh, I love that. The green movement is something we can really delve into.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but before we leave, Ben.
Yeah.
What the heck is there a solution? How do we get out of this?
Mm. Yeah.
Because let me just give you what I've been thinking about.
Sure.
We can't go back to an all natural, you know, the idea of the all natural movement. We can't do that because there's no way we could have enough food for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
it's just not possible. That's why Norman Borlaug was such a hero. He gave food to just billions of people who wouldn't have been able to eat.
Right, the super wheat inventor.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's a processed food, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's a genetically modified
GMO
food that then becomes a processed food and almost has to.
I see what you're saying just from the idea of transporting the food. What's weird about it is that there is more than enough food around to feed every single person on the planet. The problem is we have so much food waste. We have so much inefficiency in transporting it. And, in a lot of ways, our systems of social hierarchy, make feeding everyone a much lower priority than, it would be theoretically. It's an interesting question, Matt, whether or not these food additives are necessary. I would say with the current state of affairs, you're absolutely right. A lot of people who are eating an entirely healthy organic diet, in some ways are privileged, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing at all. What I'm saying is it's a thing that is simply not a reality, not an accessible possibility for a great deal of the human race or human species, I guess. And, at this point we have found that there are food additives that do good things for people, right? And we do also know that there is a huge argument to be made for moderation. Like salt. Salt, if you think about it, one of the first things you would add to food, historically.
Yeah, Ben.
Salt's too bad for you. What?
No, I'm just thinking about all the salt you just ate today.
Oh, gosh, man, those fries were so good, though.
I'm sure.
Oh, she warned me. Rosie warned me. Well, on that note, I guess what we're saying is that we would like to hear from you guys. What should we cover in more detail coming up? What should your fellow listeners know about food additives that isn't really out there in the mainstream? And do you have any topics that we should cover before I die of a salt overdose? Let us know on Facebook and Twitter. You can visit our website, which is pretty awesome, not to toot our own horn, stufftheywantyouknow.com. And remember, we're always just an email away. We're
conspiracy@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this topic and other unexplained phenomena, visit testtube.com/conspiracy stuff. You can also get in touch on Twitter at the handle @conspiracy stuff.